If you are going to the state capital, be prepared to answer a list of health questions and have your temperature taken.
Do you have any flu-like symptoms, fever, shortness of breath, coughing? You're good to go. Thank you.
You'll also see plexiglass barriers and signs warning you not to push elevator buttons without using a tissue. And the basement cafeteria that normally sounds like this is roped off with yellow caution tape and eerily quiet. It's all because public health experts fear the Capitol building, with its stuffy rooms and big crowds, could become a hotspot for a virus, as historians say it was during the 1918 pandemic.
It was the perfect breeding ground for disease, and that wasn't really anything that state officials seemed to pay attention to.
Derek Everett is a member of the history department at MSU Denver and Colorado State University.
You had people who were traveling there for all sorts of state business in ways that people don't need to go to the Capitol specifically today. And all of those in-person things continued during the influenza epidemic.
Everett says the legislature shunned social distancing and even brought in lawmakers from Wyoming to have a joint session. Governor Oliver Shoup went ahead with his inaugural speech that brought hundreds of people inside the building. And as you might imagine, the lack of precautions had consequences.
There was a case in the spring of 1919 where the state treasurer at the time collapsed at his desk with influenza-like symptoms, and several other members of the state treasurer's office didn't have the same reaction that he did, but it was clear there was a major outbreak of it in his office.
But some at the Capitol were taking things seriously. Earl O. Kennedy was a doctor from the Western Slope. He led the state's health department and said everyone should wear a mask.
Dr. Kennedy did his best to try to convince people that these were things that needed to be taken seriously. And state officials just kind of shrugged him off. They would almost pat him on the head and say, well, okay, thanks, Dr. Kennedy. Thanks for your input. And then really nothing was enforced, certainly at the state capitol.
After months of trying to convince lawmakers of social distancing, Kennedy ultimately died of the flu. State historian Dwayne Vandenbush said the government's indifference to that virus meant state residents were left to fend for themselves.
You are out there on your own. If you don't have a job and you don't have money for food, you're up against it. You're not going to get any help from anybody.
The virus also took a much bigger toll on the state than the coronavirus has today.
In Silverton, they tried to call the coroner, and the coroner didn't answer the phone. They went down to see him, and the coroner was dead with dead bodies all around him.
Despite the devastation, Derek Everett says the legislature barely mentioned it when they started their 1919 session at the Capitol.
There was a sense that, you know, it wasn't really something that the state government needed to treat as seriously as we've taken the coronavirus pandemic today. And I think that that's a sad thing because, you know, Colorado's infection rates and death rates in the influenza epidemic were disastrous, incredibly high.
Today, pandemic relief is a top focus for Democratic House Speaker Alec Garnett as lawmakers start a new session that was postponed for a month by the coronavirus.
Our top priority will be to see our state out of the public health crisis and to work to usher in a swift economic recovery for Colorado's hardworking families and small businesses.
Lawmakers will debate a stimulus proposal worth $1 billion. Among other things, it would provide free diapers to cash-strapped parents and expand broadband to more parts of rural Colorado. And unlike 1919, most lawmakers were vaccinated ahead of the session. But in a way of history repeating itself, mask wearing is not required for lawmakers inside the building. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.